We enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And we believe in God the Father, in Jesus, his only Son, and in the dynamic Holy Spirit. So we're thankful for this time. Yes, amen. And so, yes, this is divided up into 12 different sessions. Some of them I'm going to have to move real quick on. So if you've never been with me in a class before, you will have more materials than we're able to get through. And then this will be then in a book form, then in Releasing Spiritual Gifts Today, the study guide, the class, and everything. And so it's broken down actually into four different segments. The first section is the introduction to spiritual gifts, is where we're starting with the first three sessions. Then it'll shift to the section two, which is revelatory gifts, the gifts that reveal. Then we'll head to, and that has three lessons. Then in segment three, section three will be the power gifts, the gifts that do. And then the last three then will be then lessons 10, 11, and 12 on section four, the vocal gifts, the gifts that speak. Okay. And so the opening with every lesson or session or chapter, I then have an introductory verse. And here is the verse, of course, for this particular session. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Notice it is to each is given. It isn't to some is given. It isn't just to the special elite. But to each one of us is given the manifestation. I love the word manifestation. So it isn't going to be just something clogged up on the inside of us. And it's not going to be a rusty pipe with kinks in it. It's going to be demonstrated, activated, and it's going to be manifested. So to each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, for the common good. And so that's just our opening theme verse. As I often do in these type of settings, I try to go look at people who've walked in these realms in church history and in the past. We'll do a lot of fast scripture quotes. And then sometimes I try to bring in contemporary voices, because what's this class? Releasing spiritual gifts yesterday. No, it's today. So first of all, John Wimber, who is with the Lord. I had the privilege of knowing him. He obviously was one of the leaders that emerged originally as a Quaker and then got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he really shook things up a lot. And he was a great man of God in Southern California and became one of the leaders to the worldwide global vineyard movement and was a professor at a Fuller Seminary. And so here's what John Wimber, from a third wave spirit-filled evangelical background, had to say about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are the expression of God, God's power at work in the church today. A believer does not possess gifts. I think that's really important. A believer receives gifts from God to be used at a special times for special occasions. Gifts are the attestation of the empowering of the Holy Spirit and are vital in signs and wonders ministry. Spiritual empowering equips one for service. These gifts are tools which enable us to fulfill ministry requirement. The gifts of the Spirit are by impartation. The gifts, except for the private use of the gift of tongues, are given to each of us and through us to use for others. Real important point right there. To us, through us, for others. And are developed in a climate of risk-taking. Now, actually, John Wimber does one of the best examples. I might not take the time to read through all of them, but because that one is so perfect, I don't think it can be done better. And it is, listen to this, it's developed in a climate of risk-taking and willingness to fail. So, hi, guys, if you're going to move in Holy Spirit today and in his gifts, it means you might not have a 100% success rate, because there's the learning curve. And I love It's the culture of risk-taking is where the most fruit is. Then another professor from Fuller Seminary, the gifts, which then in the Greek language, the charismata, and that's where then the terminology originated for an earlier move of the Holy Spirit, 30, 40 years ago, the charismatic movement. The gifts, the charismata of the Holy Spirit are transrational. So in other words, they're beyond reason, going beyond human reason, manifestations of God. They're given by God for the purpose of ministry, taking place for the good of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:7, the source is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then the recipients is the community of believers, some called the people of God, the body of Christ. The purpose is to edify, to equip, to glorify God. The motive, oh, this is really good. I love that he pulls this one in. The motive is what? The motive is love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. The motive is love. So Holy Spirit, even right now, some of us, man, it's like, well, yeah, let's have a motivation of zeal. Let's let the target be correct, that it's for the sake of others that we're going to pursue and have a hunger for spiritual gifts, desire the spiritual gifts. It's what the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 14. But it starts off there and says, let love be your aim. So already in looking at these definitions, we're saying, Holy Spirit, today, move on our hearts and purify our motivations that we could believe that you're a good, good God who gives good, good gifts today. And you want to then move through us, not just as an act of demonstrating how much you love us, but a gift is given to us to be a steward of a demonstration of how much God wants to love others through us. Okay, Dick Iverson, which was one of the latter rain, that's an earlier move of the Holy Spirit, and then shifted then into the charismatic movement and et cetera. And he was the founder of the Portland Bible Temple that's now called City Bible Church. Well, he says, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just human talents or even human abilities energized by the Holy Spirit. That's really, really, really important. So in other words, while I believe in studying, you cannot study enough to earn or to receive a spiritual gift. It is a gift. It is a gift. It's a gift. Hi, they're gifts. So it isn't just human talents or even human abilities then that are supernaturally energized by the Holy Spirit. Their gifts are a direct manifestation of the Holy Spirit through believers. God uses though human abilities and he does energize them with his Spirit, but it is something different than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It may also be true that God equips us by personality and by temperament to match the gifts in which we function. And you can regress that. But let me also just say there, that isn't always the way it works. He doesn't just match your personality and go, well, you're an extrovert, so I'm going to give you a power gift. Hey, some of the people that I know that move in some of the higher impacting power gifts are really gentle people. And so don't now try to go down this list of gifts and go, well, but my personality is an introvert, so therefore my calling must be going to be a contemplator. I'm going to be discerning of spirits. While that is partially true, here I want to get something across so important today, right now. God qualifies you in an area that you are not qualified for. In other words, he calls us to do things that we're going to need him to be able to perform. That's why they're called gifts. Derek Prince, which is a gentleman, the British-American Bible teacher, also been with the Lord now for a while, that greatly impacted my life. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the supernaturally imparted abilities to do. Now, I love this because listen to this, to do the works of Jesus. So simple, but it's so central. And it's so simple, it gets missed, and it shouldn't be, because that's what this is all about. It's to do the works of Jesus. And what? The book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, and then Derek goes on to list. He says, each of the 25 of the New Testament charismata are an example of grace made specific, effective, and manifest. Now, let's move on to Peter Wagner. And he's one of the people that's greatly impacted my life and is actually one of my apostolic advisors. He's a missiologist, an author, and a apostolic teacher. Peter Wagner, then, coming from then more of a third wave background, likened to John Wimber, a spiritual gift, and then moving on into, you know, other things in Reformation, the prophetic movement, and the apostolic Reformation. Peter Wagner, a spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ, according to God's grace, for use within the context of the body. Note, Peter does not mean gifts are inward-looking, meant only for the use within the church, but they're for the mutual benefit of Christians wherever and wherever the church ministers. And so see, so the issue isn't, he's not saying when the church just gathers, that's when spiritual gifts, but wherever the church is. So, and that's the sent ones, and that's who we are. So it's wherever the church goes, because the Spirit then equips us to be sent ones. And so, and in fact, Holy Spirit moves even all the more when we do the risk-taking culture. Okay, so whenever and wherever the church ministers, both inwardly and outwardly, the ministry is best done through gifted believers. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's just do this part real quick. Could we do that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, King James Version, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, I'm not sure. That actually might be a, I'm not actually positive right now. That might be a verse typo right there. But anyway, the Apostle Paul made it clear that the gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used to benefit the body of Christ, which he is a member. In the modern translation, it reads as follows. Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, which I do want to take time to read this. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. And this is the primary set of scriptures that we're emphasizing in this particular class. To one's given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts. Listen, it's in the plural there. Gifts by healing by the one Spirit. To another, the effecting of miracles in the plural. And to another, prophecy. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And I skipped a line. And distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. And so let's just keep moving forward. And so that first point there on Roman numeral 2, on purposes of the gifts of the Spirit, it's to profit withal. So in other words, that we can each profit, every single person can profit by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are used to, the second point here in this segment, is to form the body, help form the body of Christ. And this is like in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, you today, you are Christ's body, individually members of it. And we each are different members. And so as each different member has a different function, so then there can also be different gifts according to what part of a member of the body of Christ you are playing. The body of Christ is not just a gathering of believers. The purpose of the gifts is that everyone can profit so that every member benefits. And it's like a human body where each part and organ needs to function together with the others. Now, here's one of the great, great, great things. And so each one is supposed to benefit. It's to help form the body. And we could talk for a long time on this. So I'm just have to pass out some things to you just real quick. But then you can go back over these notes and you can read the book and you can relook at this. And then you can chew on this and you can push pause later and you can have a discussion about these things. And you can ask the questions like, how do the spiritual gifts help form the body of Christ? How does that work in a local church? How does that work in our city? Yes, do that. But here's one of the amazing things I really love. the spiritual gifts that accompany the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It's impossible to have a glorious and fully functioning body of Christ apart from the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. Without supernatural endowments, the church cannot presume to preach the gospel to the whole world and reap the great harvest before the coming of the Lord. You see, Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 15:17-20 said, "Therefore, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. For I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed." Now watch this. "And in power of signs and wonders and the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Now, hold that phrase. I'm going to come back in a little bit and I'm going to tell you a story that's literally in today about Illyricum that Paul the Apostle is speaking. But look, Paul says, "I didn't just come to you in word. I didn't just come to you in speech. I came to you in power and in manifestation with signs and wonders." So in other words, if we're going to be effective and if we're going to penetrate dark places, it takes not just logic and reason, it takes the power demonstration of Holy Spirit. And then, of course, there's many other then points or scriptures, the accompanying of the preaching of the gospel. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." Another in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard him, not only heard him, and saw the signs that he did. And then there's another then in Hebrews chapter 2. But let's keep moving forward because I want to tell you about a testimony that goes back to this Romans chapter 15 about Paul, where he talks about he didn't come just with words and he didn't come with just persuasive speech, but he came in demonstrations of the Spirit with signs and wonders as far as Jerusalem to Illyricum. So some years ago, I was in a nation called Albania. Communism had lifted, and Enver Hoxha was the totalitarian ruler of that area. And I was one of the early people that was into this ancient nation at that time, quite dark, and communism had just lifted, and the totalitarian leader had been removed. As I remember this, there were only 300 motor vehicles that was in the nation at the time when under Enver Hoxha, only the elite had them. And then when communism lifted and he's ousted, and then there's this eruption of, you know, technology that was coming in, satellite dishes, you know, all over the place. And it was just amazing, you know, complexity of, like, here was ox carts, you know, carts being, you know, led by oxen, and at the same time, you know, new motor vehicles, and there was no stops. There wasn't any, like, street lights anywhere, and so it was like old meets new, and nobody knew how to drive a car, and it was chaos, but it sure was fun. So I was there with a friend of mine and taught for almost 3 weeks in the capital city, and then they want to take me up the coast. And they take me up to the coast of a city called Sinjin, which in the Shipurian ancient language means St. John. And so they believed that John the Beloved, not only Paul the Apostle, preached the gospel as far as Illyria, that's Albania today, Illyria, Illyricum, but also we go up the coast of the Adriatic Sea, and now I'm going to be speaking, so I'm going to stand up now, okay, because my preach is on. And so, So I got to tell this story, and then you can look at the notes, because this story is about the introduction of Holy Spirit today, because it's not just by good speech. It's by demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so I was standing on this cliff. I was on this cliff. I was overlooking the Adriatic Sea, and it was dark. And I'm going to be one of the first, if it was not actually the first person in modern day to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in this ancient city of Illyria, because Albania, the goal of that nation was to be the first pure atheistic country in modern history. And so all churches had been banned. They were all shut down. Enver and Hoxha had even shut down the Byzantine churches, on and on and on. So here I am. If you can see the scene, I remember it like yesterday. I'm up here on this cliff. I'm up here at this rock, and I'm overlooking the sea and the city, and I'm going like, what do you have for these ancient people of Shipuria? And a name floats through my mind, and it goes, Sarah. And I go, oh God, what do you have for these ancient people? And the name Sarah floats through my mind. And I did it again. I go, oh God, what do you have for these ancient people? Lord, I'm here. Sarah floats through my mind. Then they come in to get me, because the meeting is going to be in a community building. They didn't, it wasn't any church buildings. It was the first time for an outreach in Sinjin. I throw up my hands and I go, whatever. I get in there. The building is cold. It's starting to rain. It's dark. It's cold. There was no warm-up band. There was no nothing. The place was packed, you know, and so this is like where they would meet together as a community of believers. And I'm like, so in the beginning, right here in this first lesson, the Holy Spirit today, introduction of spiritual gifts. This was an introduction of spiritual gifts today for the breaking forth of the gospel. So I now cold turkey with my translator. I'm trying to talk. I'm not like getting along real far. And I'm going like, what do I do? So I go, well, I have one little thought that came to me, because Sarah floats through my mind again. I turned to my translator and I said, I didn't do this public. I said, how do you pronounce the name Sarah in Shipuria, in Shipurian language? And he says to me, oh, it's Sabrina. So I go and I say, is there anyone here named Sabrina? And everybody's just looking at me. They have on like their thick winter coats, and it was cold and damp and everything. Remember, it was not lit well, the building. And of course it's translated. And I say, with all the faith I could get, I said, is there anyone here named Sabrina? And I was hoping there was somebody there named Sabrina, because I didn't feel like I was getting very far. And so I had actually said it two or three times. Well, finally, this lady, about three-fourths of the way back in the middle of the row, raises her hand. And I go, praise. This is what I did privately. I go, praise God. You know. And so I said, oh, but I actually didn't have anything more. So I said, Sabrina, stand up. And I'm hoping if she stood up, I would have something more come to me. They don't know what's going on. I'm just a pale-faced guy that's from the West. They came to see a guy from, you know, or East, West, whatever it was. Anyway, from the United States of America. So then I said, Sabrina, will you step out onto the aisle? It's translated, Sabrina steps out onto the aisle. Says a long, thick winter coat on, dark hair. I don't get anything more. And so I said, Sabrina, would you come up here to the front? Sabrina comes up to the front. Well, everybody knew Sabrina. I didn't know everybody knew Sabrina. So I turned to my interpreter and I said, hey, you tell me, guess, how old do you think she is? Now, that's not a good question to ask about any woman, okay? And so I turned to him and I said, hey, how old do you think she is? And he says to me, you must realize that they've been oppressed for so long that they look older than they actually are. So he tells me how old he thinks she is. And I said, you tell her this. Your name is Sabrina. Well, we already had that part established. And then I say, and you're, I think it was 32 years old. I'm hoping that this is right. This is sort of like throwing darts at a dartboard, and you have the goal, you want to hit the center, and just hoping you hit even one of the outer rungs, even like if you hit the wall, that would be pretty good. And so, but this is real important, because these people have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And so I say, your name is Sabrina. You've never heard the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in your life. You're 32 years old. And you have a tumor in your left breast, and Jesus wants to heal you. Now, she had a thick winter coat on. This was not me seeing something in the natural. This is getting in the flow of the gift of a word of knowledge. And I trust the atmosphere then shifted to an arena of faith, because guess what? Her name was Sabrina. She was 32 years old. She had never heard the gospel of Jesus. She actually was Muslim in her background. She had a cancerous tumor in her left breast, and the presence of the Holy Spirit fell on her. She gave her life to Jesus in front of everybody, meeting over. Because now Holy Spirit falls on two little old 80-year-old gypsy women sitting on the front row. They meet Jesus. They get delivered of occult spirits right on the spot, folks. And then the Holy Spirit moves upon all around the 120 or however many people that was present. And they all start coming up to the front, wanting me to touch them or whatever. And I was like, now, where did they all raised their hand as though they wanted to receive Jesus. I don't know how many actually got born again. I don't know. But I do know this. Everybody had an encounter with the real Lord Jesus Christ that night. Why? Because the gifts of the Spirit are for today. And they accompany the preaching of the gospel. Well, ends up, then the meeting is over, and it was a glorious time. And now it's raining, and they lead me down this hill, and it's muddy and it's sliding, and we're supposed to go to another city because it wasn't even a place for us to stay all night. And cars, taxis, the whole bit was all new. We don't even know how we're going to get to the next city, folks. So we're standing out there in the dark with our translator, and we got to get to the next city because that's where there was a hotel or something where we were going to stay all night. And so we're just out there praying, and the guy's like doing his thumbnail ride routine. And finally, somebody pulls over with a car. We get in. Well, it was a guy, and he made his living by, he had a car. And he carried people places. I'm now in the front seat. My translator is in the back, and my other friend is in the back seat with him. And I go, aha, I'm lit up on the inside. This is like when Philip in the book of Acts, he got in the chariot, and he read that guy's mail. And I'm going like, oh, this is a modern-day chariot. Ha! I don't know how far we're going to get on these notes, but this story is just so amazing. I have bunches of these. And because it's about Holy Spirit today. This is about releasing spiritual gifts today, not keeping spiritual gifts, not just receiving spiritual gifts, releasing. Because when we receive and we release, we increase. So then, now, I'm back in the car. Remember, I'm in the car. The interpreter's in the back seat. And then I go, I'm start a conversation. Of course, my translator is interpreting everything to the driver. And I'm going, hey, I was at a meeting tonight, da 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 da. And it's the first time the gospel of the kingdom, and it's being translated, was presented. And said, and there was a woman that was there, and God knew her by name, and her name was Sabrina. I knew how old she was, that she had a tumor in her left breast, and she gave her life to Jesus. And you'd call him a taxi driver, but I don't even know if they knew what taxis were. But so this driver's like shaking now under the power of the Holy Spirit. And because this man ends up meeting Jesus in his car as he's driving us. And part of me, I was just praying, like, oh my God, I hope we don't have a wreck. Because guess what? This man was Sabrina's husband. And he knew everything that I just said was totally true. And he too was Muslim. And right in that car, he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Releasing spiritual gifts today for the accompanying of the gospel, for the form of body. Yes, it's for all these reasons. Well, how do gifts come? The gifts come through impartation. They come by, sometimes I have listed here three different ways that spiritual gifts are given. They're sovereignly given. And God can move to give grace, gifts, ministries, offices as he chooses, as he desires. This is not dependent upon human preparation or choosing, but rather God's election and God's sovereign choice. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came the sound of a wind from heaven and the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were all sitting, etc. And then we find in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33, and now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Now, this also could show that some of the conditions that could be helpful is unity, hunger, unity, waiting on the Lord. And so here, and then in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to this message. I remember a time that I was ministering out in Pasadena, California on an evening meeting. It was not a big conference. It was a small gathering. And I actually brought my oldest son up in front of this group. I thought it was going to be about 60 young people. There ended up being about 100 that was there. And I only had two things. And I knew I was supposed to bring my oldest son to the front. And I was supposed to actually just pray a father's blessing upon him. And then I was supposed to give gifts away. Oh my, yes. That's what are gifts for? To give away. You're supposed to receive. But this class is about releasing, not receiving. Because we're not supposed to just keep them. They're supposed to be demonstrations of God's love through us to others. So I remember my oldest son came up there. I prayed for him. And see what it says in Acts 10:44. And it says, and the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening. When I prayed that Father's blessing, it was like a blanket fell that night, and it fell on all of them. I saw it, actually, like a blanket fall. I've seen this different times. And like it fell on all of them and started like going into travail. Some started like falling out of their chairs. And I remember a young man sitting on the floor up against the brick wall, and I turned towards him, pronounced the spirit of adoption upon him. And interesting enough, he ends up marrying my oldest daughter. And I pronounce the spirit of adoption. That's really pretty good. Anyway, okay. So I got into that because it's releasing spiritual gifts today. Because God loves us. Because he honors hunger. Because he sovereignly does it. He also does it through the laying on of hands. Already gifted people can help then others receive. And then them too end up releasing what God has chosen to give, often through the laying on of hands. Very quick examples. There's many, and I wish that I could go real slow with you, but you have your notes, and you'll end up with a book and everything later. And so here it goes. Moses to Joshua. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, now Joshua the son of Nun was filled. This is pre-Pentecost. This is pre-Book of Acts. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. Lord, we ask that you fill us with the spirit of wisdom. But now watch how this happens. He was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. And the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here we find an example. Not only did he sovereignly fall at times, he also used human agency, and here, laying on of hands. The church at Antioch, Acts 13, verse 3. And in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. They're ministering unto the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, then they lay hands upon Barnabas and Saul, and they send them forth. After fasting and prayer, they laid their hands on them. The seven, Stephen and Philip. Then, and they had these men stand before the apostles who prayed and laid hands on them. So I've been a part of many commissioning services where we believe that there is the establishment of spiritual gifts are granted and or the minimum confirmed so that they can be stronger in their faith and stand in confidence, not in self-confidence, but God confidence. And then, and there's many other verses. There's another one that I have listed. That one was Acts 6:6 about the deacons being set aside. And then Acts 19:17 and others. Well, then there is the sovereignly, by laying on of hands, by casting of a mantle. That is a huge subject. I actually want to refer to you to one of my books, The Lifestyle of a Prophet. And because there's just too much here for me to try to like give to you. in this. And so I'd like to actually refer to you to that book, The Lifestyle of a Prophet, to learn more about that. So there's the casting of a mantle from Elijah to Elisha in obedience. God, Elijah, appointed Elisha as his servant. But now, folks, this wasn't some quick little deal. We don't know how many years it was. It might have been up to 18 years or so that Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands and he served him. Then there was the time where the mantle was given from one generation to the next, etc. Now, you find a lot of that in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and that also is in that particular book that I just mentioned. We have, of course, the example of Jesus and the 12. Jesus called his disciples, and he passes authority on to them in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 2, verses 8 and 9. And we have that there's the appointed, the 70 others. They sent them out two by two. We find, and it says, in whatever city you enter, and they receive you. Eat such things that are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. And we have many other such examples. And so we have that sovereignly gifts are given. We have that it is through the laying on of hands by already gifted people who then are able to impart spiritual gifts that you may be established. And we have then through serving then in another person's sphere, and then a mantle then is cast. Well, look, this, there's so much material here. We could take 3 hours on this first lesson, but let's look at your notes if you can, or your book. Spiritual gifts as found in scriptures. Now, the following are clearly listed as spiritual gifts. Most of these scriptures come from 4 different places in the New Testament where we find a spiritual gift list. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Romans 12, and then a very shorter list in 1 Peter chapter 4. And so now I'm going to state these. This is now a composite of all of the gifts that are technically listed in the New Testament. 1, administrations or steerings. Because of time, I'm not going to give you the scripture references, but they're there in your notes or they're there in your book. 1, administrations or steerings. 2, an apostle. 3, celibacy. 1 Corinthians 7:7. 4, discernings of spirits. 5, the effecting of miracle power. 6, eternal life, Romans 6:23. Number 7, an evangelist. Number 8, exhortation. Number 9, faith. Number 10, healings. Number 11, giving. Number 12, helps. 13, interpretation of tongues. Number 14, various kinds of tongues. 15, a gift of leadership. Then, of course, these gifts aren't limited, see, to the church, but were to be in the church to be sent into the world. Number 16, mercy. Number 17, a pastor or a shepherd. Number 18, the gift of prophecy. Number 19, prophets. Number 20, righteousness, Romans 5:17. Number 21, service. Number 22, teachers. There is teaching, and then there are teachers. There is prophecy, and then there is the office of a prophet, and they are different, overlapping. And then number 24, the word of knowledge. Number 25, the word of wisdom. The following are some possible spiritual gifts examples that aren't technically listed in the Word of God, but perhaps, could it be, so listen to this. There are some things that are biblical. There are some things that are unbiblical, and then there is that which is called extra-biblical. So I have listed out that which is technically listed, it's biblical, 25 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be majoring on 9 of them, but there are 25. But does that mean just because there's 25 that's technically listed, that there could it be that there are others that's in the heart of God that weren't necessarily technically listed? Could be. I don't know. So I'm present the following to you as possibilities that it's not unbiblical, but it would be not. I'm not adding scripture, folks. Okay. It's just this could be a possibility of some other ones to consider. Craftsmanships, encouragements, that's very similar to exhortation. fastings, hospitality, intercessory prayer, interpretation of dreams, and being a wise judge, missions, cross-cultural missions, music, philanthropy, worship leading, okay, closing statements. To each is given a special gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I love this verse. Every single believer is to have at least one major manifestation of the Spirit functioning in their life. The Lord will identify the gifts and ministries that He is giving. 1 Peter 4:10. We find then another list that's given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, that you will want to read that. But here, folks, listen. I can go through this and you can go through this. I want you to read these scriptures. I want you to pray over these words. I want you to not only read the word, I want you to pray the word. And where you see the gift of faith, I want you to ask for the gift of faith today. Where you see that there's a word of wisdom that's listed, I want you to ask for the word of wisdom today. And so there's different ways of expressing this. We'll develop it as we go. We're just getting started because there's gifts of the Spirit. There's ministries of the Spirit. There's offices of the Spirit. We're to all flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We will each be then given a special ministry. So there's a consistency of operation of a supernatural gifting. There's that which happens occasionally. There's that which happens residentially. There's that which happens consistently. And then it can form into a ministry. And then there is another level then of an office of apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher, which is going to include these. But what is that goal? Is to equip the saints so that they too can do the works of Jesus. Okay, so very quickly in closing, to each one of us is given today gifts. We're not to be ignorant, but we're to learn about the spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, 4 to 6. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And that is one of the primary issues. The reason why we don't flow or flow in other levels is because sometimes we're not in the right culture. We're not in the right place that's stretching us or helping us create the culture of risk. And then, do not neglect your spiritual gifts. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6, stir up the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. So don't neglect what you've already. You want more? Then do something with what you have. Desire the spiritual gifts. And so you're out there, you're going, yeah, but I don't know if that's really right. Yes, it is, because the Bible says so. It says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. It means to have a deep-seated craving for and a passionate pursuit after spiritual gifts. Now, we must have it right. We are going to have a deep-seated craving for and a passionate pursuit over the giver of the gifts. And as we keep our eyes focused upon God the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit today, guess what? We keep Him first. We keep Him central. He will impart and use us to even receive and release to others spiritual gifts today. So we're to desire. Gifts are given. They're not taken away. It's the art of risk taking. And the Spirit is always ready. He is always ready. He is always ready. He is ready now. He's so ready right now that I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, I want to grow. You might just agree with me. This is not in your study guide. It is, this prayer is in the book, though. Heavenly Father, I want to grow in all these three dimensions of the Holy Spirit in my life. I ask that you be my teacher, my guide, my gift bearer, my fruit bearer, the gift giver, and the fruit bearer, always to your glory. Together with others, I ask for more of your power, more of your character, and more of your wisdom ways. And that's why in the beginning in this prayer, it says, praying for all three dimensions. What are the three dimensions? The dimensions are what? Power, character, and wisdom. So I'm going to go back. I ask for more of your power. I ask for more of your character. I ask for more of your wisdom ways today. Without your help, I cannot learn to walk in a Christ-like manner. As I walk through my life, may I cast a shadow of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit wherever I go. I have great expectations for you to move in my life today. I want you to say that with me. I have great expectations for you to move. I have great expectations for you to move in my life today for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you. That's just the introduction. And so please go through the notes. There's a lot I wasn't able to cover in detail, but at least you got inspired. You got some biblical grounding, and we set a good launching pad for releasing spiritual gifts today. God bless you. This is James Gall.